Well, as we've been reporting over the last few weeks with Jim Sanders, where we believe that Russian jet that came down over the Sinai in Egypt was taken down by a bomb, Russian officials are now saying it was brought down by a bomb estimated to contain 1 kilogram, that's about 2.2 pounds of explosives in that plane. It crashed October 31st, killing all 224 people. Aboard that tragic situation. We'll be back in a moment more with Kirk Nelson as we talk about his thoughts on prophecy and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Kirk Nelson with us as we talk about his work, 2026. Tell me about some of your other works, Kirk, before we get back into 2026 here.
Well, I wrote a book on the life of Jesus, and I also wrote a book on astrology.
Now, of all these topics, prophecy, astrology, and Jesus, do you have a favorite or you like them all?
Oh, it would have to be 2026. I am so excited with the discoveries that I've made. I just am thrilled with it.
You talk about a role that extraterrestrials will play in 2026. Tell me about that.
Well, one of the things, the link between November of 1989 with all the UFOs over Belgium and March 20th, 2026, is the aspects, the astrological aspects are aspects for the physical manifestation of UFOs as well as spiritual ideals. So I think I think it's going to be the 2026 is going to be the time of first contact with our alien friends. One of the things I did in the book is I went back and I looked at the history of UFO sightings, especially mass sightings, to see if I could figure out exactly what they were doing. And it seems like in the beginning, they were sort of just showing themselves. And then in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, they made a lot of forays into nuclear bases, American nuclear bases, literally shutting down nuclear missiles, showing up on top of missile silos, that sort of thing. And then in the after that, it seemed like there were more mass sightings, like Belgium, Phoenix, Illinois, Stephenville, that sort of thing. And now I think that, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I think they've kind of pulled back because they know there are 2 billion smartphones on the planet. And if they made the kind of appearances that they used to make, there would be, you know, dozens of videos taken of them. So I think in the beginning they were showing themselves, then they showed an interest in our nuclear development, or nuclear, as George Bush used to say.
Yeah, nuke.
And I think the role that they're playing in all this is that the Casey said that that Homo sapien was created by the sons of God, what he called the sons of God, as they are also referred to in the book of Genesis. And that this creation was caused through introgression, is the word Casey used. And introgression literally means gene splicing. So I think he also talked about that there would be a new type of human being after the changeover. And the Bible talks about at the last trumpet, we shall all be changed. It says there will be a quickening. It refers to all these changes which will occur to us once Jesus returns and there is this changeover to a new age. So I believe that the UFOs probably are involved in this genetic changing of the human race. There seems to be a lot of genetic aspects to the abduction phenomena and that sort of thing. So I think that the aliens, what we call aliens, it's not like Star Trek. They're not human beings. They are an extremely spiritually advanced being, completely different than we are. I think that everybody talks about angels versus aliens. I'm not sure there's a big difference because clearly the sons of God in Genesis were a higher spiritual type of being. And I think that's essentially what the aliens are.
Okay, let's go to some of the phone calls. They are lining up here for you. We'll go to Tom in the Bronx, east of the Rockies, to get things started. Hello, Tom. Good morning.
Oh, hi, George. Hi, sir. I'd like to say, did they ever find any in the Sinai Peninsula pyramids? Out of curiosity.
There, no, just Giza in that location. But pyramids have been spotted all over the planet, Kirk.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. There are pyramids in, you know, all over Yucatan. It seems like Casey said that there was a Hall of Records in Yucatan as well.
That's the Central America area, yep.
Yeah, and some of those pyramids down there are likely candidates for that.
What is so special about the pyramids of Giza, in your opinion?
Well, it's an interesting question. One of the things about the Great Pyramid is that Casey said it was prophecy in stone. And he said that one of the prophecies in the Great Pyramid was the changes that would occur in religious thought during our time period. And you have the sarcophagus in the King's Chamber. Then above that, there are these relieving chambers with seven stones, and five of the stones are made of red granite, and the two stones on top are made of gray limestone. And I used to stare at this cross section, trying to figure out exactly what that meant. And then I was falling asleep one day, and I was in that in between state between waking and sleeping, and suddenly it hit me what it was. It's an arrow. It's shaped like an arrow. And the five, and it's indicative of the raising of the Kundalini through the seven endocrine centers. Because Casey said that the stones and the colors of the stones indicated things to do with the prophecy. Well, the five lower stones are made of red granite, which indicates the five lower centers that have to do with the body. Then the two higher stones, which are connected in an arrow shape, are made of gray limestone. And the pituitary and the pineal are in the brain, which, of course, is gray. So the changes which would occur in religious thought, the empty sarcophagus indicates there is no death. In other words, the soul survives the death of the body, and that the way to advance yourself spiritually is through meditation and the raising of the Kundalini, perfectly indicated in the interior of the Great Pyramid.
In 2026, you talk a lot about UFOs, though, and past cases as well. I'm curious why that angle.
Because I think it's part of what's going to happen in 26. In 2026 is first alien contact. One of the most interesting things that I found was what U.S. presidents said when they were asked about UFOs. Bush Sr. said, they asked Bush Sr., how much do you know about UFOs? And he said, I know some, I know a fair amount. Of course, he was the head of the CIA.
Yeah,
he would
know. We don't know if he was joking or not, but who knows, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, he was the head of the CIA. He knows. They asked Clinton, because Clinton said if he ever got to be president, the first thing he would do would be to try to find out about.
Well, he tried to find out. I'm not sure he did succeed, but he tried.
Yeah. Well, his answer was, they asked him, did you actually find out? Actually, Jimmy Kimmel was the one that asked him. And he said, sort of. That was his answer. But Obama, Kimmel's the only one that asked the presidents about this. Obama.
Yeah, he likes doing that, for sure.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. Because the cowardly White House press corps would never ask that question.
No.
But Kimmel asked Obama, and at first Obama joked and said, well, I can't tell you because the aliens would be very upset with me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Kimmel really pressed him on it, and Obama said, I can't reveal anything.
Yeah, he did that with a sly little look, too,
yeah,
didn't he?
Which, I mean, that to me, that indicates there's something, obviously.
There are some great mysteries out there. Do you think the pyramids were constructed primarily to tell us prophecy of the future?
Well, they were constructed for prophecy of the future, to indicate the entrance to the Hall of Records, and also to give us a mystery, so that there would be some mystery for us in the future. And I believe that, do you know about this French architect who figured out how the Great Pyramid was built?
No, tell me about him.
All right, there's this guy named Jean-Pierre Houdin, and it's a fascinating story. He quit his job, sold his house, moved into a studio apartment in Paris, and decided to dedicate his life to figuring out how the Great Pyramid was built.
Huh.
And after about a year, the French government heard about him, gave him $100,000 a year and a staff of six people to help him figure it out. And he figured it out. He definitely figured out how the Great Pyramid was built. He, as an architect, he could look at it in a different, with a different eye. And he figured out that the Great Pyramid was built with an internal ramp. In other words, the way they hauled the stones up the pyramid, it couldn't be an external ramp, because the external ramp would be bigger than the pyramid itself.
Mm-hmm.
So they did it with an internal ramp. And the internal ramp required that there be notches on the edges of the pyramid to turn those stones. And some of those notches are still there. You can still see them today. He also figured out that the so-called Grand Gallery of the Great Pyramid was used to haul the larger stones up, and that there had to be a notch in the top of the Grand Gallery for the ropes to attach to the counterweight that would pull the sled that would go up the Grand Gallery. And one of the most amazing things is that the grease marks from the sled are still on the walls of the Grand Gallery. There's a black line where they would pull the sled up, and there's slots in the Grand Gallery. They would pull it up and it would go into a slot. Then they would pull it up further and it'd go into a slot. And that's how they dragged the stones out. Now, he figured there had to be a notch at the top of the Grand Gallery for the ropes. Well, there's no notch there now. But then he looked at photographs from the 1920s and discovered that they had covered that notch up with cement, and that it was actually there back during that time period. Well, he figured all this out. He started to go around and lecture. And one day he's lecturing, and after his lecture, a scientist came up to him and said, "You know, we did gravity soundings of the Great Pyramid. And here's a example of the gravity soundings that we did." And he handed him a piece of paper. And this piece of paper actually showed the internal ramp of the Great Pyramid. It's still there. It's there to this
day. Amazing theory. I happen to think sound resonance had a lot to do with it, too.
Right, right. Well, now, what's amazing about this is that the Egyptian government has decided to do thermal soundings of the Great Pyramid, and they just did them about a month ago. And what they discovered was that they're what they call thermal anomalies on the eastern side of the Great Pyramid. And this would just amaze me. The head of antiquities for Egypt actually took the press on a tour.
Right.
And showed them that there is a place at ground level where they know that there's something behind these stones. Some of the stones are very similar, and then there are these stones that are different. And this is where they found indications that there are openings or chambers or whatever you want to call it there at ground level.
That's exciting work.
But getting back to Jean-Pierre Houdin, National Geographic did an hour-long special on him, and it's very, very convincing that he has actually figured out how it was done.
Okay, let's go to the more calls here. First-time caller, Travis, happens to be in Montana. Hi, Travis.
Hi. The thing on the how the sun will darken and as well as the moon, to me that sounds a lot like nuclear winter.
It could be. It could very well be when you talk about that darkness, Kirk.
Yeah, that's a possibility. One of the things that is in the book of Daniel, which, like I said, Jesus referred to, it says that this invader of the Middle East will be destroyed by fire.
Well, nukes will make fire.
Could be nukes, could be the magnetic field reversal. Certainly a possibility.
Can prophecy be changed, in your opinion, altered?
Oh, absolutely, sure. We all have free will. We are all, Jesus said, you are gods. So we all have that little bit of, that free will is what makes us a god. Casey said, even God doesn't know what the soul will decide. So yeah, prophecy can be changed. But the thing that's extraordinary to me about astrology is that, like I said, whenever we see these large groupings of planets, the effects always come through, always, and you can predict it like clockwork. For instance, when the Korean War was going on, it went on for a few years, and then there was a large grouping of planets and large in good aspect, and that's when we had the armistice.
Yeah. And technically, that war's still going on.
Right, still going on, but at least they had peace at that point.
Yeah. Virginia's in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Virginia. Go ahead.
Hi there.
Good to have you.
Speaking of inhuman aliens, about these refugees coming in, 70% of the so-called refugees are young men, and most of the women went to Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
If some of the governors will not keep them out,
that's true,
of the United States, can they be impeached?
They cannot. You can vote them out. But they haven't done anything illegal to impeach them, especially if it's mandated by the federal government. But that's a different story and a different program, to be sure. Kirk, it was, as we come up to the break here, and then we'll come back with some final phone calls as we talk about this. Prophecy is, every civilization has thought they were in end times. Yet, I think we're closer now than ever. I wasn't around during those days, but things seem to be happening now much more than they did then, don't you think?
Well, certainly. I mean, the technological advances of the last 100 years have been extraordinary. But one of the things that I talk about in the book that I really like to talk about is I have this section I call 5 Great Things That Will Happen in the Future.
Well, let's talk about those 5 great things when we come back. 5 great things that will happen in the future. We need some enlightening things to happen in the future, to be sure. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM, and when I do, I'm going to tell you how you can help the veterans with the Holiday Magic Coast Style CD. I'll fill you in on all of that and so much more when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast with Kirk Nelson and your final phone calls as we talk about his work, 2026 and Prophecy. Tell us about these 5 great items you were talking about, Kirk.
5 great things that will happen in the future. Now, I wrote them down so I wouldn't end up like Rick Perry.
I have to do that too sometimes.
Okay, first of all, the opening of the Hall of Records. The 1,000 years of peace, the return of Jesus, a new type of human body, and first contact with our alien friends.
Let's go through them. Hall of Records, of course, we've talked about. There's 3 of them. What do you think they really contain?
They contain records of human history of Atlantis, actually. From the beginning up to 10,500 B.C. Casey said that they had musical instruments. There are actually compositions there. all sorts of cultural things having to do with that time period. And, you know, it's interesting. They didn't talk too much about the other two Hall of Records, the one by Bimini and the one in the Yucatan. There was not a lot of discussion about what was in those. But he said that he seemed to imply that they were almost identical, that each of the, he said the records are one. In other words, the three places where they are located, the records are the same.
Okay, so that's that. Now, 1,000 years apiece, it kind of echoes the Book of Revelation and End Times.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's in a lot of different prophecies. And, you know, it's literally like the song says, the Age of Aquarius. What happens is that every 2,165 years, we move from one astrological age to the next. And every time we move from one astrological age to the next, the religious rituals change to reflect the astrological sign. For example, the age before this was the age of Aries, which is a fire sign symbolized by the ram. And the religious rituals then involve sacrificing a ram on the altar of fire in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, currently we're in the age of Pisces, which is the water sign symbolized by the fish. So the religious rituals involve baptism, and of course, there are all sorts of fish symbols having to do with Jesus. They called him the fisher of men. He called the fish into the nets. He walked on the water. Pisces is a water sign. Pisces is also the martyr sign. He was martyred. And now we're about to move into the age of Aquarius, and Aquarius is a air sign symbolized by the man pouring a pitcher of water. So the religious rituals in the future will involve the air, and in my thinking, it would be specifically yogic breathing, prana breathing, probably will be entered into our rituals. And you know, somehow the others will change as well. But Aquarius is being friendly to everyone in an impersonal way, which is a good description of 1,000 years apiece.
And then you talk about Jesus. Is this the second coming?
Yes. Casey said that Jesus would appear in the physical, not as one born, but as one that would return to his own, is what he said. And how that's going to manifest, if you know, I really don't know. But there is, you know, some people might argue that Jesus was one of the sons of God. You know, will he come in a spaceship? Will he manifest, simply appear like Star Trek? Who knows?
And of course, you talk then about this reconfigured human. What happens to us?
Well, what's interesting about this is that we are already doing this ourselves with DNA research. Whether this will be an advanced human body, an energy body, it's very difficult to say. But even if there was no prophecy, it's very clear that we're in the process of changing human DNA to improve the human body.
No doubt. And of course, the ETs, which we've talked about, but you do believe that there's going to be some kind of visitation.
Yeah, because of the relationship between the aspects of March 2026 and the aspects of November 1989. I really think that we have so many exciting things to look forward to. And one of the things about this 2024 to 2027 period is that this whole period is what makes this so powerful. Because you can have good aspects, let's say, for a month or for a week, and the effect is not the same. But if you have a cumulative effect over a period of years, that's when these individual groupings of planets become so powerful. That's what makes this so unique. But if there was no pyramid, if there was no prophecy, if there was no Jesus, if there was none of this, the year 2026 would still be extraordinary for the human race because of the astrological aspects.
All right, now we go to the final calls. Jim is in New Hampshire. Welcome to the program, Jim. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I got a question. I'm going to lead up to it for Kirk, but it's regarding extraterrestrials. I've had experience with them since studying since I was a little boy. They told me things, showed me things, and done things like this. About the future. They told me that the tall grays, I've seen different kinds, but for example, the grays are one of them. I've had a lot of contact with. They said the tall ones are technicians, scientists, and the short ones are laborers, workers. And then I've also met hybrids with grays at the same time. And I've had a lot of things happen in my life, much to say here, but one of the strange things I can't figure out is I've had probably 12 or 13 times in my life where I should have been killed. And every time something happens, somehow I survive. Somehow, I don't know what happens. I survive. So one of the questions I have is any possibility, any correlation between that weird saving of my life, or is it just a coincidence, or is it a correlation to something the extraterrestrials are doing to intervene for some reason? And it's also interesting, while I was on hold, Kirk was talking about Aquarius and all, and the air, the time of air and all this stuff. And coincidentally, I'm a Libra. My element is air, and my best match is zodiac match is Aquarius. And as I get closer to this time period you're talking about, I feel a change happening inside me spiritually and intellectually, and it's getting more pronounced as we get closer to this time period you're talking about. Time period I wasn't aware of, by the way, till I heard you talking about it on the radio this morning. But there's another weird thing that seems to be coming to a culminating inside me that coincides with this period in time. So I guess my question is, do you think there's any correlation between all things that are happening to me, or am I just crazy?
You're not crazy. Go ahead, Kirk.
Well, one of the things that you could do to determine whether this is real or not is study your astrological chart. See what your aspects are. If you have, if you have a bad sun Neptune aspect, that is an aspect for self-delusion. Then you realize, okay, that's not really true. If you have Sun trine Neptune, like George does, then you have a very a strong awareness of the mysteries of life and a very good connection on what's going on.
Jim, thank you. Good luck to you. And a lot of people are being enlightened, Kirk, these days, aren't they?
Well, let's hope so. With the things that you're doing and other folks, that's certainly the case, I would say. But there's so much work left to do. And the thing that the great awakening that will occur is that there will be an opening of awareness to the spiritual dimensions of reality. That's what we really need. We need for people to understand that they are not bodies in the world. They are spirits with bodies in the world. So that's where we're heading. But with mass communications, with so much information out there now, there's going to be an opening of awareness for human beings, for sure.
Well, let's go to Joe in Florida. Welcome to the show, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Joe.
My dad and I are both fish. He was born in on equinox in 1922, and he fought in the Battle of the Bulge. We have some similarities. I'm getting nervous. I'm losing it. So you're saying that Uranus overtakes Neptune every 30 years?
No, it doesn't overtake, but they line up in aspect, whether it be a 60-degree aspect or a conjunction or a 120-degree aspect.
Have you looked at the 20-year cycle between Jupiter and Saturn?
I have not.
Could you look at November 15, 2020? Break that down.
Okay, I will.
I'll send you an email.
Okay, sounds good.
But I'd like to say that Edgar Cayce died on January 3rd, 1945, and VE Day Victory in Europe Day was May 8th, 1945. So he died just before the end of World War II.
Synchronicities. And Joe, I got to tell you, my dad was born in 1923, and he too was at the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow. I'm going to send you an email.
Is your dad still with you?
He is not.
No, same with mine. Okay, thank you. Send us an email, and we'll make sure that Kirk gets it. Or send it directly to Kirk. How did they do that, Kirk?
KirkNelson33@MSN.com.
KirkNelson33@MSN.com. Let's take a few more calls. Pam's in California, first-time caller. Hello, Pamela. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I thank you for your guest tonight.
You are very welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to say I experienced I call it a spiritual dagger, and on my researching of it, I understand it was a Kundalini dagger because I could see the form of the dagger going through my heart.
Okay.
And I was wondering what significance that has to possibly to my life.
You opened up this door, Kirk.
I'm not sure. I don't really. I don't have a frame of reference for that at all. I would say just pray and ask for some guidance about it, or you could give yourself a suggestion before you go to sleep to have a dream about it, because the easiest way to access spiritual information is through your dreams. And if you give yourself a suggestion before you go to sleep, a lot of times you'll have a dream that will explain it to you.
Kirk, you write on astrology, but you're not an astrologer, correct?
Well, I am an astrologer, but I'm not, you know, necessarily a practicing astrologer. In other words,
you don't give readings, do you?
Well,
do you?
I have in the past, but you know, I have a day job, so.
Don't quit your day job, as they say,
exactly.
Right? Let's go to Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Wayne. Let's squeeze you in. Go ahead.
Good evening, George and Kurt. Interesting program. First of all, Casey is saying the Bible being the prophecy in stone. I think that's what it was called. There's actually a book called the Bible. The Bible in stone. It was written in the 1890s. It's a very large, voluminous book, and it's in most of the older Bible schools, libraries. You might find it very interesting. I followed this line for several years by a preacher that was very famous in America for teaching on this, and actually during the teens and the 20s and the 30s, many evangelists made their living just off of preaching on the Bible in stone and the Great Pyramid. But there's a scripture that says that in the day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst in the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof of the Lord, and it shall be a sign and a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors. Now, this is what many ministers have said was an indication that the Great Pyramids were the Bible in stone. This is the scripture they use. But when you go to the information on altars, every altar is built of natural round stone. It has to be unhewn stone. So that completely wipes that out. And it took me years to find that reference, and there was only one Bible that listed it in its index, and that was the Bible written by Dake.
Well, that's great searching indeed, Wayne, indeed. Kirk, thank you for being on the program. Good luck with the book, 2026. Good read. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.